Welcome to The Art of Construction, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your business. Together, we'll explore the world of construction with some of the best minds of the industry. Your host, Evan Tilley, a micro-influencer and sometimes disruptor, will take you on a journey that will lead your business to the next level.
What's up, Art of Construction Tribe? Tasmanian Devin here, and we are pumped to talk the art of hybrid timber framing. And when I say the art of hybrid timber framing, this guy actually wrote a book titled The Art of Hybrid Timber Framing. And I'm so jazzed to learn all the trials by fire of Bert Sarkinen of Aero Timber Framing. And he is the son of a carpenter who developed a passion and knack for building at a young age. He's experienced multiple challenges in this craft to become the visionary and chief designer of Aero Timber Framing. I'm so pumped to go in and have us all talk about Aero Timber Framing today. And so the goal for this podcast is about defining what hybrid timber framing is. And so we're going to talk through about comparing and contrasting log cabin styles and timber framing. I'm going to ask him about, what's the difference between a full timber frame and hybrid timber framing and the biggest overall benefits of the hybrid timber framing. So there's just a few things that we're going to go through and have a fireside chat with Bert. So let's dive in, get to know Bert, have some fun, and learn about hybrid timber framing. Lock and load. What's your favorite beverage?
You know, I drink a lot of green tea. It just, especially like the Starbucks brand, Emperor's Cloud Green Tea. And that's probably my favorite.
Awesome. Bert, tell us about the favorite place you've traveled.
Yeah, that's kind of a tough question for me. Me and my family actually had a year and a half in Sweden and Finland.
Oh, wow.
It was my immediate family. I had a break from construction and learned a lot of different construction methods. And that's really high on the list. But you know what my favorite place is? It's the Grand Canyon.
Oh, cool.
I hiked it a couple times. And it is just fabulous.
Can you give us one story from the Grand Canyon?
Sure. So me and my boys hiked it the first time. They were 14 and 12 or maybe 11. And so we went down and up in a day. And that's 5,000 vertical feet. The river's at 2,000. The rim is at 8 or 7. Seven there. And so we took off, and they're like little gazelles bouncing down the trail. And then when it came to going up, I was prepared. I had a rope tied to my backpack and some ski poles. And so it was like a little ski tow. They could grab onto the rope if they were tired. And it was kind of funny because towards the top, they were both hanging on. But when we come to a group, my oldest son had a little bit of shame. He would let go of the rope. My youngest son would just latched on, and he even figured out that when there was a big step coming up, all he had to do was stiff leg it, and it would like kind of pole vault up and over, and I get a big lurch. But it's kind of funny. Got a lot of comments from passerbyers.
I bet you were a little bit tired of pulling some extra pounds up the mountain, huh?
Yeah, I like a good workout, just a good hard grind. And one of the fascinating things about the Grand Canyon is you see so many different types of colors going down, and you get to see the bottom and the top pretty much the whole way up, up and down. And going up, you can't imagine how the trail gets up this cliff. And then about halfway up, you see little figures on the lookout where people are on those lookouts where there's vantage points. And it's just incredible how big it is.
Cool. Well, what's your favorite hobby or interest outside of the construction arena we passionately call the art of construction?
Psychology. And not as in what you would normally think of. It's just as it relates to marketing, to employees, to relationships, and that sort of arena. It's just really fascinating. It's real, and it's probably one of the most beneficial things we can learn as people.
Awesome. Well, we got to know a little bit about Bert. Bert, tell us where you're from and your background, and then let's dive in. And I'm so jazzed for you to tell us about hybrid timber framing and defining what that's all about for us today.
Yeah, thanks, Devin. So I was born in Vancouver, Washington, and from the years of 3 to 6, I lived in Wyoming, Sheridan, Wyoming, And then we were back here, and I was pretty much raised then here, went through high school, started framing with my father at the age of 16. And once I graduated, it was kind of a point where I could make a choice. And that was, my father said, you know, son, you're coming full time now. I can hike your wage pretty good. He said, or you can just learn faster, keep your wage the same and let you make more mistakes. And of course, it was a no-brainer for me. The learning was much more enticing. And so I didn't really know what I was in for. I would still do it again. It was pretty intense because here's just an example. The next day, my father asked me, he said, okay, what do you want me to do? And so he became my helper, and he would let me build the wrong wall first. And I mean, he let me make mistakes, and it was, then he'd point out where I was wrong. And it was quite a deal, because it's a little bit like your brain's jammed up a little bit. So I had to think through that at first, and knowing, am I doing the right thing? Knowing there's somebody who's with much more experience that I'm bossing around, and yet I had to go through it. And one example of some of the things that really the trial by fire aspect is, there was a call one time, came from the lumberyard. I had ordered a upper wall pack, and the salesman asked my father, he says, hey, Joe, are you sure you want 250 studs for that upper wall pack? And I had gone into the mode of having too short of materials. So, okay, don't be short, and overcorrected. And it was just way off of what's normal. So the salesman called it my father. And so that kind of stuff was happening a lot.
You know, we definitely learn by doing. And so at a young age, your father taught you about framing. And your awesome marketing team gave me some great talking points today. Shout out to Lucas on your team to talk about. I really want to learn and define hybrid timber framing, because I haven't had the pleasure of reading your book yet. So he gave us some great, and when I was reviewing that, it was some stuff. I'm so excited to ask these questions and get your answers. So are you ready to dive in and kind of talk through some of those talking points?
I am.
Awesome. So first off, can you compare and contrast the difference between log cabin style and timber framing?
Yes. Yeah, so if you were a customer, Devin, or a client coming in, and we were looking at what you're trying to achieve, and we're in an initial brainstorm, one of the questions you would get is, okay, Devin, so if we take a look at what you've got in your head from initial silhouette, presentation, setting, from paint to flooring to lighting and the timbers, everything all inclusive, where do you want your rustic factor to fall on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being a log cabin, heavy, lots of wood, maybe antlers on the wall, and 1 being a modern hospital? Where would you fall on that rustic factor scale? And so clients will answer that question. And my advice to our clients is, if you're not a 10 or maybe even 11, you really don't want a log cabin. So that's the timber frame. The rustic factor can scale clear down to about a 2 or a 3 with the hybrid timber framing. And with the log cabin, you are pegged at a 10. Log cabin is a log cabin is a log cabin. And many people start out wanting a log cabin, and then 5 years later, they realize that maybe they want some rustic factor, but maybe not that much. And on a technical aspect, log cabins are stacked up logs, one on top of the other, and timber framing is with posts and the beams. And that timber framing versus post and beam, just another technical splitting hairs, the timber framing uses mortise and tenon and pegs. Post and beam uses metal connectors and bolts.
What a great, that's gold, man. So in one sentence, you can, anybody out on the street, whether they have zero experience with construction or a ton, you can say everybody knows what a log cabin is and everybody knows what a hospital is. And you can paint those pictures to kind of scale it to make sure you're qualifying the right people to manage the two things we don't have enough of, time and money, right?
Correct.
Awesome. So what's the difference between a full timber frame and a hybrid timber frame? When I'm learning about you and your tribe, it's the word hybrid comes out a lot.
Correct. And so without getting too technical and into the weeds on the difference, a hybrid timber frame uses other construction methods. Most usually it's the 2x4, 2x6 stud wall construction type. It's been used with block and masonry and stone, SIPs. And a full timber frame will have a standalone frame to where you can see it. It's a very beautiful picture, especially in the setting sun. You got a silhouette of this skeleton. That's the bones of the structure. And that's a full timber frame. Every post, it's all complete, standing. And so that will often be covered with traditional framed walls, so conventionally framed 2x6 or 2x4 walls. Or another way to do it is with SIPS panels, the structural insulated panel. It's like a giant Oreo cookie with a sheet of plywood interior and exterior with foam in the middle. And the hybrid, the reason that people will use hybrid is you're going to, even if you have a full timber frame skeleton, something has to shield you from the elements, the wind, from the rain, from the sun, and that can very easily be load bearing, which, so you don't need the full timber frame. And then there's costs and there's also looks. A lot of times the full timber frame is too much on the rustic factor for what people are trying to achieve. And it's also somewhat confining in the shapes that are economically real to build with the full timber frame. So it puts you a little bit of a style straitjacket as well. Did I cover that well enough for you, Devin?
Yeah, that's great. So it's managing the aesthetics and the structure and all the kind of components around it to kind of hybrid approach of managing the most bang for the buck and the look and all those different things.
Exactly.
So are you a general contractor then?
I am not. We focus on beams, anything to do with artistic beams that fit their context and bring out emphasis to what's special about the project.
So are you making the different hybrid timber framing components then?
Correct. If the project is complex, we don't give a kit option. We just do a hybrid timber package. If it's relatively simple and we do have a install package, which, you know, your viewers, you'd have to, I don't know where it's at. It's a hidden page. But we can get that to you for your viewers.
Awesome. Yeah, we do custom show notes on every page that we'll make sure we have a link to if they want to learn more about your offering and your package. As we, I really enjoyed getting to know you guys because you really are passionate about educating hybrid timber framing before it's the product and pitch. So I really appreciate that. So do you work with builders or directly with the homeowner?
Yeah, there's basically on our website, there's a choice for, there's content that is for clients, content that is for architects, and content for builders. So those are the three, that's our market segmentation.
Well, this is perfect because the Art of Construction is specifically designed for contractors and its affiliates to grow their business. So let's go into talking about the general contractor builder and kind of maybe give them some information. Do builders, do they typically do their own timber design and timber framing, or how do you, with all your experience, see that typically happening?
Well, I don't know about typically. I would guess if I was going to say overall in America, Canada, what is happening with hybrid timber framing is what we affectionately call the Hail Mary approach. And the way the Hail Mary approach happens is somebody sees a cool picture, they have an idea, architect and the owner draw the plans and capture some of that, but in the process of where all the closets go, how much room around the dining room table, the kitchen layout, how big the island is, so on and so forth, there's a huge plethora of questions and decisions and trade-offs they go through to get a final set of floor plan and elevations that work. And by that time, nobody has energy or expertise. Typically the expertise is one of the reasons they get put off, but expertise to address something that's going to have a big impact on the look and feel of the project. And that is the timbers, the exposed beams that they want. How are they going to be built? Are they going to be too big, too heavy? Is the space too wide or too high and narrow for what they're trying to achieve? And so the construction documents are done. They shuffle them off to the engineer. The engineer does what he does best, who specs out just kind of the minimum sizes and the most, what he feels like is the easiest type of construction to get this done. And then it goes off to the framer who then is forced to deal with any issues and missing spots they have. And so that's where we liken the framer to the quarterback back in the pocket having to huff up the Hail Mary. There's a chapter in the book on that. That's what happens generally. That's kind of the what not to do.
Yeah. And there's been, when you hear the word hybrid, there's all these different, you know, bolt-on kind of aesthetic components that different manufacturers I've seen over the years make, but they're so fake looking and it's really hard to tie those in after the fact. And we're always talking about on the Art of Construction, begin with the end in mind. And I think that's kind of what you're alluding to, is to really get the right cooks in the kitchen. And back to your first sentence of what kind of design is it, a log home or a hospital that you're doing, and put the right components within, right?
Yep. And specifically for the builders. And so I guess I left the builders out of that little scenario with, as it comes through, it comes from the engineer. And then when the builders, I actually had builders tell me that, Bert, I really would love to have you on this project. This is not what it should be, but I don't want my clients stepping in your office. They're going to fall in love with the pictures. I'm going to have to answer more questions. We're going to have to find money that they don't have. And we got them to a decision, and you know, I'm not getting paid enough to yank on that yarn again. So the fix really is for what you're doing, what I'm doing, just educating the designers, the architects, the builders, and the clients as well, is when should we step in to avoid that Hail Mary approach?
Sure.
And that is right after the preliminary floor plans are done and preliminary elevations. Just the designer can, architect can take a break. We can kind of figure out a timber package that works. And if we need to change a roof line or spread walls or posts or something to really create that look.
Totally.
Easy to do.
Yeah. I own a window and door company in Colorado called Mountain View Window and Door, which was kind of the platform that started this whole Art of Construction tribe. And we call them trusted advisors. And you made a great, we're lost without the architects and the plans, but you need to bring in the right trusted advisors that have the right niche experience to put together the right project. And in Colorado, I see a lot of different things done when it comes to timber framing. So how would builders benefit from utilizing a hybrid timber framing company?
Well, they so for example, if compared to the, and there's a lot of good framers and builders out there, and so I don't want to throw the baby out with the bath water by any means. So what happens is it's a surefire gig if they hire someone like us that makes sure the project's in 3D so you can see it for size, figure out the best way to build it, and make sure that the overall effect of the timbers is marching in lockstep with the overall look and feel, that rustic factor scale that people are trying to achieve. If that scale is wrong, the interior designer and the owners have a big job in making choices to overcome wherever those timbers steered it in the wrong direction, because they do have a big impact on that overall look.
And you talked about the different ways, you know, post and beam versus different hybrid approaches, that if the engineer structurally says you have to do this, it may get lost in the shuffle where people feel they have to do that versus getting the right sizing and components to fit the space and maybe use alternative methods. Is that how I'm kind of understanding this from you?
Sure, that's exactly right. And just to really clarify the answer to your question is, how do builders benefit? So they can have less time on the job where framers are twiddling their thumbs or kind of fooling around with the beams and asking questions.
That never happens. And then there's the crane there waiting for this cut or this, the beam's too short or all those type of things. So
there's a big learning curve. There's a big learning curve. And we've had builders that tell us the framers are going to do it for 25% of what we're proposing. And that just makes me wonder if somebody's going to get an education. And that education comes with pain.
Yep.
That either the framer will just take it all and be the stoic hero and suck it all up, or typically what happens is there's a request for more money, or it takes way longer, or even if there's no money pain involved, that framer can feel like he's been taken to the cleaners by that builder, and the relationship suffers. True. And that's probably the worst outcome, because you want to have good subs, good relationships, and to be able to make your clients happy.
Totally. And your component is a key component, like my window and door company. It's the structural, but it's also this aesthetic piece working together. And those are really key partners if you want to begin with the end in mind the right way to have a successful project when you're handing off the different critical path of along the project. So one of the questions I wanted to ask you is, you know, the word value engineering, and you talked about hiring a trusted partner like you, and then, you know, time and money and the right pricing all coming together. Is hybrid timber framing for production homes or more high-end custom builders, or how would you answer that question?
It is mostly for high-end custom builders, and it's about 5 years ago, maybe 7 years ago, there was a builder we did a lot of these entry packages for, and so they were about, you know, the $500,000 range, and maybe six, and he would put these on, and he experienced a 35 to 50% return on investment. Just because we would work with the roof lines in the context, we didn't just do a lick and stick timber application. We'd make sure that we did everything we can for the context without complicating the framing too much. And then the timbers with different shapes to kind of trick your eyes to correct any imbalances. And so it really created a punch. And when you can get that right punch from the beginning, the trim looks like it's higher quality, the appliances, the lighting, everything just has a nice. And so that's, and I guess it's kind of a blessing and a curse that timbers have that kind of an impact. It's a responsibility. And then it's also it's very gratifying when we can really deliver that high, high value.
I totally agree. It's such a key component that our distinguished homeowners, a lot of times they don't know what they're looking for, but when you walk in the room and it just feels right, you know, that structure component working into the beauty so that you're not licking, sticking, or putting band-aids over things to cover stuff up to where all the elements are working together. That's when, you know, when you put in the 10,000 hours like you have in hybrid timber framing and I have in windows and doors, that's how that stuff all comes together, and you learn by doing, and you can see the different components together. So what are the main factors that increase or decrease timber cost as we're talking through it for contractors and builders?
So the factors that increase or decrease the cost, really, if you want to, just in a nutshell, board footage is going to increase or decrease the cost. And the caveat to that, if you get a bunch of small pieces, then you can get a higher cost per board foot, especially with intricate joints and angles and that sort of thing. In general, it's quantity of board foot. That's one of the bigger drivers of our estimator. It estimates board feet as well as pegs and connectors and so on and so forth. And that's just what we've noticed as far as the cost portion of it.
So the value-wise, where it's going to cost up, if you don't, you just put timbers everywhere, the cost is going to go up. So it's strategically placing those is your advice.
Yeah, and more often than not, we will suggest less timbers. And it's really an artistic, you know, what are they trying to achieve? If somebody really, really wants a heavy 9 or a 10 rustic, we'll suggest putting them up against the gable end walls and posts all the way down and different things. For most people, you can achieve what you want to, keeping the walls clear. Some asymmetrical spacing. It depends on the room volume and that sort of thing. More often than not, we talk people and out of timbers to really optimize the look and feel, and as well as for their pocketbook.
Sure. And on the art of construction, architects are super important to begin with the end in mind properly. Do you see architects, are they open to the idea of adding timber designs to their team, or what? How do you see architects with your experience?
That's, you know, that we all roll a little bit different. Some architects welcome us with open arms right off the get-go and are glad for the synergy and excited to do something together. And others, looking a little further down the road, wonder if we're going to cause a lot of other questions or drive things out of budget. And how are we going to, are we going to upset the apple cart, so to speak? And what they've found, both of them have found, is that we're really careful to understand the intent, understand where they're going, understand the money. And what we'll a lot of times do is we'll just make sure that the ideas first go to the architects. They understand it. They kind of have a little bit of control in what gets presented, because they have a responsibility to produce construction documents that will indeed get built, not a pie in the sky. So that's what they found out, is that we are tireless in finding ideas that work and really emphasize and embellish, make their plans look better. And that we're not trying to steal the show. We're working as guides.
So how would you what advice would you give, or how do your designers work with architects best then?
Mm-hmm. And we've done it different ways. The best way to do it is get the preliminary plans, floor plans done, the preliminary elevations done, and bring us up to speed with the intent, turn it over to us for a bit. we'll work with different ideas and designs. And once that's kind of dialed in, then the architect has all the information to finish the construction documents. If there's a pitch change on the roof, if maybe some walls need to be lowered or raised or spread, or many times the post locations or entries or patios, if they move around a bit, that's captured. And then it's all in the construction document and it's not ad hoc after the fact where the builder has to track that information.
Awesome. So beginning with the end in mind, let's talk about homeowners a bit, just to kind of set the stage for all of us working together to help make these homes be, you know, these projects be a house to meet someone's passionate home. So if a homeowner likes the look and feel of Timbers, what advice would you give them starting out on a new home project?
The advice I would give them is somewhat general. It applies to more than just Timbers. It's understanding, you know, why they're doing it, really kind of understanding what they want to get, and then even how they want to get there. And that's going to really involve the right hires, who they hire. And that's really, there's a ton of information out there. People can find pictures in magazines, on the web. And we even take some of our old projects from customer A and apply it to customer B's project. We think it's going to be a fit, and the lick and stick doesn't work. And we have to use the artistic eye, but go back to the intent, what they're trying to achieve. And so that understanding why for the clients, and when we understand that, that's really kind of the holy grail, your lodestone. That's going to really help with making good decisions throughout the project.
Awesome. So in your book, you mentioned defining ugly. Can you expound on what's that mean?
So we often joke that here at Arrow Timber Framing, we are the sworn enemies of ugly. And so what that ugly happens, so we've kind of defined ugly as, of course, you've got your entries or timber projects, whatever, that fit like socks on a rooster, and just hands down, we can all say that's not comely. And so that's kind of the superficial form. And that's what we work with, making sure that in context for the intent, that things really get that beauty. And ugly can be too much money invested. Ugly can be ugly can be the process. And then on a deeper level, which the only way we can help with that is just by being passionate and cheerful and excited with what we do. That's the only way we can help on these three other levels of ugly that happen. And that is on the deepest level, it's kind of a thinking or mindset and an attitude that ugly can happen there that, you know, it just makes life rough. And from there, it can move into actions. What are we doing? And then from there, it affects relationships. And so by being passionate, by being cheerful, by having a good attitude, we hope some of that rubs off onto our clients and improves their lives.
Yeah, we don't want ugly. We want to have the art turn into something, the construction that they love, right?
Yep.
So what are some of the biggest concerns that clients approach you with?
There's quite a few concerns. Cost is usually an issue. They want to know about how much they can expect to invest. And that's, even though that's kind of one of the primary pieces of information people want at first, it actually is like number three or four on the hierarchy. Really, they want to know, is it going to reflect their personality? Is it going to be something they like? Is it going to fit their style? How to make it match? When is it too much or too little? Will it fit their surroundings, neighborhood? And maybe they're doing a remodel. Can they even achieve the look they want? Those are some of the some of the bigger concerns, there's some technical things that get raised, such as fresh sawn or green wood versus kiln dried versus reclaimed wood versus glulams. Metal connectors, some people like those, some people don't. Those are, I guess, some of the more predominant things we hear.
Yeah, a lot of important words that you definitely want to know that you just said there if you're going to get into timber framing. We always like to say find the biggest pain and fix it. So what are some of those pain points that you've really defined this process? What are some of those biggest pain points along the way to help us learn from the hybrid timber framing expert?
So the biggest pain point is getting the right look and feel. That's hands down the biggest thing we deal with. And about proportion, one of the big things that you'll see a lot of is patios that are not visually grounded. They don't have visual mass. They have a big roof structure with skinny posts, and it just looks out of balance. Sometimes you'll have a lot of small posts, so it looks like a bamboo field. And that's the biggest driver of what we got going on. Some of the other pain points are shoddy construction and even wasting material. Something that's structurally unsound happens. Not as much as you'd think. There's a lot of structures that are built inferior, but because of the safety built into the engineering and building codes, they'll actually hold up under most conditions. We did have a job up in Alaska that was in the epicenter of that recent earthquake about 4 months ago in Eagle River, Alaska. And so in that epicenter, it was close to like an 8 or a 9 on the Richter scale. I don't know the details, but what the timber framing we did on this hybrid project, we had got some big angled knee braces. They gave lateral bracing to the back patio, which weren't there in the original design, and also we had added, there was more strength added because of the timbers, so it did well because the timbers were added in such a way for lateral bracing. That was our part of it, That's something we look at always, structural aspect. Kind of getting off on a tangent here, but so structural, and aesthetics, and then the process. Those are the smooth process.
Love it. Structural aesthetics and a smooth process. Great advice. And we'll make sure we'll get information from you, pictures of that where you reference that cool project as a case study or whatever information. So people can look at examples and photos on the Art of Construction page, as well as we'll have links to your information. What's the best way for people to find examples and photos about Arrow Timber?
So we got a new book, The Art of Hybrid Timber Framing. There's our website, arrowtimber.com, ARROW, timber.com. And on our website, there's a pop-up that gives people the advantage to join a group of people that get an inspiration report newsletter 4 times a year, so one for every season. And it's just got cool photos. It's got information. The last one we did talked about the pros and cons of kiln-dried timbers versus fresh sawn or green timbers versus the glulams. And so there's building related information as well as cool photos, featured ideas. And then there's recommended reading at the back as well as our philosophy. And there's always a small offer. Sometimes we have, one time it was a cool twisted log that was in that offer and a client took us up on it and we built a real cool project with it. Another time it was chocolate from Sweden and Finland. I had made a recent trip. So it just kind of, a lot other time it was a dog bowl.
Oh, cool. So
kind of some fun little offers for the tribe.
That's really cool, man. So we'll make sure we have all that information and check out arrotimber.com, arrotimber.com, for the master and hybrid timber framing. What software do you use? You show a lot of great drawings and stuff on your website, and we're really passionate about all the different technology tools. What do you guys use to design in-house?
You know, we've been using SketchUp Pro, and that has really been coming along great. It's not everything for, it's pretty slow, but for what we do when we are in 3D and we don't want renderings that are rough. We want to see the real thing. So it really works good for us with cool. that, with how timbers influence space.
So just to reference his book one more time, it's titled The Art of Hybrid Timber Framing, Ideas, Techniques, and Tips to Create Unique, Personalized Beauty. And you can get that on Amazon. And again, we'll have links to that. So I'm curious, as we're really working hard on the deep dive with technology and the future of construction, what is your crystal ball for the future with technology and construction?
Yeah, my crystal ball is pretty foggy, Devin. What I do see is more and more savings in rendering and virtual reality and really helping people understand the right look and feel they want to get. So that's what I'm seeing as far as robots doing actual construction, you know, in on the field, and in that, I think that's a ways away. I'm not going to say it's not coming, because there's some pretty impressive things that are being done with technology.
Totally. So we always ask the Art of Construction tribe, this is for contractors and affiliates to grow their business. What's the one thing that you would leave us of all your amazing trials by fire and your awesome story of being such an influencer in the hybrid timber framing world? What's that one thing you would leave them with to help them grow their business?
If I was giving advice to my 25-year-old self on that question, it would be really understanding myself and people, hiring right. So first I have to understand, like, just like I advise clients, they have to understand why. And like you've mentioned, Devin, begin with the end in mind. And that's really addressing why and what. And from there will come the how. And hiring right, that is where I have made the biggest mistakes in business, hands down, finding the right people. And that's why I dedicated a whole chapter to that aspect for clients wanting hybrid timber framing.
Awesome, man. Such great tools. We're big fans of you and what you're doing, and we commend you for reaching out and all this hard work you've put into educating the art of construction about hybrid timber framing. And we're big fans, and we're honored to have you come in and tell us your story. Thanks so much, and coming in and giving us so much insight. So, Tribe, go check out his book. And Bert, thanks so much for coming in and telling us your story.
Well, thank you, Devin. It's been a pleasure to be here and a pleasure to feel a kindred spirit with what you're doing with the art of construction.
Awesome, man. Cheers.
Bye-bye.
Man, there's so much gold from Bert there, Art of Construction. As I've lived this, seeing all the different stuff coming together in the passionate industry we live, the art of construction, those construction silos, a lot of times that framing silo and everything else is trying to come together. And I love his education standpoint. It really hit home to me when he says, do you want a full log home or a hospital? And Tribe, that's the thing I want you to really think about. I believe he's used the entrepreneur operating system and tools to help him define his proven process. And you have to really, if you confuse, you lose. So he has that opening end in question to get people to understand, are they the right fit and working together? And then, man, it's pretty cool. Go check out his book. This is important stuff, the structure and the beauty and all working together. So we're honored to have Bert as part of the Art of Construction tribe, and keep growing your business out there, contractors and affiliates. We're honored to have you here, and let us know on the message board where we can help you grow your business. Crush it out there, tribe.